I, in our household, we notice sometimes that our children will observe what they're doing. Do you ever observe what children are doing and you think, what's going on in that head? You know, what's going on there? And then you think, you know, how was I when I was a child? But we observe our children, and we have a thing that we'll say sometimes that is not exclusive to us. I think it's a phrase that's said throughout. It's a common statement. Although, do you ever think of a statement that's said and you think, how old am I? I wonder how old that saying actually is. Do you ever think of that before? You know, is that like a real old statement and everybody knows that statement? But at risk of dating myself, which I'm very old, by the way. Depends on who you're around, I guess. But we will look at what they're saying, and we'll sometimes ask them the question, how's that working out for you? You know, like they're trying to make something happen, get their way in one way or another, and they're doing various antics to try to make that happen, and we're noticing that they're not getting what they're aiming for. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe not even with children, but with adults, that you know that they want something, but what they're doing isn't making it happen. In fact, sometimes it's working counter to it. You know, it's actually working to prevent it from happening. And so the question you want to ask them sometimes is, how's that working for you? You know, how is that plan going? And I think sometimes the Lord wants to ask us that same question. How's that working for you? When we think of our faith and where our faith is and the way we're living out our lives, and we say we want certain things in our lives, we want a certain kind of faith in us, and then when we observe it, it's not there, and I feel like that maybe the Lord's showing up at that moment and saying, how's that working for you? Well, I'm just going to pray harder. I'm just going to read and study the Bible more. I'm just going to try harder. And it doesn't happen. And then, again, I feel like sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to show up at that moment and say, that plan of yours, how's that working for you? And some of us might think, well, I think my plan's working out just fine because I'm doing just well in my faith. Well, I think that if we were to evaluate, and we'll see one of our verses is the idea of testing to see if we are in the faith. And have you ever wondered, what are the qualifications? You know, if I'm testing to see if I'm in my faith, what does that look like? And as I was reflecting on that, I think there's about five general features that are going to be in the life of a person who is mature in their faith. And I think that if you studied Scripture, you'd have a hard time rejecting the idea that God expects these five items to be present in our lives. Doesn't mean that we're not saved without them, but this is where God wants us to be. And we can put that on the board if we have that, Danielle. Perhaps not. Do we have that? There it is. All right. So first is that we would have a right relationship with Jesus. The Lord wants us to be in a right relationship with him. He also wants us to have our theology right. He wants us to have sound doctrine, to think correctly, to see the world the way God sees the world. He wants us to have right habits, to be praying and studying the Bible and being involved in the church and being obedient, living out our lives the way he wants us to. He also wants us to be involved in ministry, to be serving in one capacity or another. And probably the hardest one of all is he wants us to be witnessing and making disciples, sharing our faith with others. These are things that are very clear in Scripture that God wants us to be in. And we can leave that up there, Danielle, for the rest of the remainder of the message. This is what demonstrates whether or not my faith is strong. And so as you evaluate yourself and you think through what you're doing in order to be strong in your faith, how's that working for you? Are you landing on where you should be landing? Or is there something else that needs to happen? Some of us might be looking at it and think, I got nothing. You know, I got maybe one, two of those. I don't got a lot of that. So some of us might need a complete overhaul. We might need just a lot of stuff to change. Or some of us might be looking at it and think, I got most of those, just maybe one of those. I'm kind of weak on that. Maybe some tweaking has to happen. And we might say, well, the Bible says that we are to wait upon the Lord, right? Doesn't the Bible say that? We're to wait upon the Lord. And so some of you say, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to generate these things in my life. I'm just trusting that he's going to make that happen. And we feel like we're spiritual by saying that because we got some Bible verses that affirm that posture. I'm waiting for the Lord to make this happen in my life. But here's the problem with that. When does the Lord ever say, you know that sin issue that you have? Just go ahead and keep doing it, okay? Just wait upon me to show up and make you stop doing it, all right? Just keep on sinning, that's fine. You just wait, just trust that I'll take care of it. Is that what he means by waiting on the Lord? When is it that the Lord says, you know that thing that I told you to be doing, you know, that getting involved in the church or sharing your faith or being kind to others, the thing I told you to be doing, I know you're not doing it, but that's just wait on me, okay? Just wait upon the Lord to show up and make you start doing that, and then just wait till that happens, and you'll be spiritual and be trusting in the Lord and all of that. No, that's not what he means by waiting on the Lord. Well, what is he talking about when he means waiting on the Lord? Well, if you were to study in the scripture waiting on the Lord, you know what he's talking about waiting for? The things that only God can bring. Now, you might say, well, God can only bring these things. Well, then maybe you didn't pay attention last week that we walk in the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. We choose whether or not to walk in that enabling power. And if we don't choose to walk in that, then it doesn't happen. We have to respond to what God is doing in order for those things to take place. But also, the waiting upon the Lord is waiting on his provisions. You know, we work, we manage our money a certain way, and we just don't, this doesn't seem to be happening, our provisions. So then we do what? We wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord for our healing. We prayed about that earlier, for God to heal us. We can't do stuff to make our bodies be rid of cancer or to have a knee that doesn't have torn ligaments in it. We can't make that happen. Even doctors sometimes can't make that happen. Isn't that frustrating? You go to a doctor and you think, you're just supposed to fix this, okay? And they say, well, we're going to charge hundreds of dollars and then you won't be fixed after that. Because they can't fix it either. And so when that happens, we wait upon the Lord. But we don't wait upon the Lord to stop sinning. We don't wait upon the Lord to start obeying. We start doing it. So if I test myself and examine to see if I'm in the faith, I look at this list and I say, perhaps the Holy Spirit is telling us that plan of yours of growing in your faith. How's that working for you? Does something need to change? And I think some of it is because when we do test ourselves, we're asking the wrong question. We're asking ourselves, am I going to make it to heaven? And that's good and all. You know, we want to go to heaven. But the problem with just simply asking, am I going to make it to heaven, is that the bar tends to be set real low when we ask that question. You know, we just try to aim for the minimum. You know, at least I'm not an atheist. You know, at least I do believe that Jesus did exist and all that stuff. We set the bar real low. I'm trying to be okay in the way I live. The bar's real low. And so we shouldn't just be asking, am I saved? We should be asking, am I faithfully following Jesus Christ? Am I living a life that pleases him? That question, when we're examining ourselves, is more likely to result in this than the am I going to heaven question. She's feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That plan that you have, your Bible year and Bible in a year habit, your praying, nothing against those things. But our plan, how is it working for us? Are we shaping up the way we should be shaping up? Now, not all of us can be as well built as Andrew is over there. Do you ever look at him and you think, how big are your arms? And you know how those arms got that big? By never using them. He just never used his arms, and all of a sudden one day he woke up, and wouldn't that be great? You know, some of us, we've been praying for that. You know, some of us guys, Lord, just give me arms like Andrew. But unfortunately, it doesn't just happen. What do you have to do to get muscles to grow? You have to use them, right? I have to actually put them to work. Now, what happens, I don't know if you know this, what happens if I use them, build them up, they get larger, stronger, and then I stop using them for a long period of time? What happens? You know what they turn into? They turn into fat. You know, they just, so watch it over there, Leah. You got to make sure he stays up on that. Otherwise, he'll be big in another way. We have to use it. Our faith is like a muscle in that regard. It's not a literal muscle, but it works in that regard. If we're going to use it, that's what's going to result in our faith being strong. If our faith isn't active, then it won't be something that sustains us. I don't know if you noticed this, but where we've been so far, this is the last and sixth part of this series on faith, is that the first five are really almost preparatory. They're almost like maintenance, that if you do these things, then you'll have faith initially, but they're not the things that actually make us have a strong, living, and active, empowered faith. They start us out there. And that journey so far has been like that first item up there. We need to be in a right relationship with the Lord. We need to be taking our thoughts captive and our feelings and emotions captive and correcting them to the truth of God's word. We need to look at ourselves and realize that faith without works is dead. So if I'm not living a certain way, then there's something wrong with my faith. I need to know how to evaluate that. I need to know that certain nutrients need to be in my life, like strong, healthy, right relationships with other Christians, like some things I need to just not watch, not listen to, not have some of those conversations, and other things I need to start paying attention more to. We also realize that the work of faith is the work of the Holy Spirit, and so like we looked at last week, we have to let the Holy Spirit get out of the way and let him do his work in his life, in our life. But a lot of that stuff's just to start it out. Have you ever noticed sometimes maybe you've walked down this road where you start out passionate, zealous, excited, you're making it somewhere, you're getting somewhere, and then it just kind of fizzles out at some point. Just doesn't have the same level of passion or excitement that there was before. Not the same will to do what God wants us to do is not there anymore. Do you ever wonder how that happened? Started out so well, why did it stop? And perhaps it's because we didn't land on this last step. What is the last step? Well, look with me on your handout. I have the verses printed for you. We're going to read these. There's 10 passages or statements that we're going to read that I believe is going to reveal to us what this last step is. Acts 6, verse 7 says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Acts 13:8, "But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith." 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." Galatians 1:23, "They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy." Galatians 6:10, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Now, before I read that Ephesians 2 passage, just to remind you, we looked at the first half of Ephesians 2 last week, and that chapter is talking about how that's where we get we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves. So Paul is describing what faith is, and then he proceeds to describe how God went about bringing that faith into our lives, and then he lands on where that faith is supposed to land, and that's where these statements come to us. Ephesians 2, 20 to 22, "But you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." 1 Timothy 4:6, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And lastly, Jude 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So what is this action? What is this exercise that we are called to do that would be the using of the muscle of our faith? And where we're going to discover that and know how to act that out is going to be understanding two realities that are demonstrated for us here in Scripture. I don't know if you noticed that I bolded a very small word that appears in 6 out of 10 of those references, and that is the word the. The faith. I want you to notice as we walk through those statements that it's almost as if the faith, because like it's a thing, it's a noun on its own. It's not me, it's the faith, like it exists separate from me somehow. It can exist inside me. I can have faith, but that's why it says to test to see if I'm in the faith, because I can be in it or outside of it, because faith isn't me. Faith is something that exists completely separate from who I am. So if faith exists separate from me, if it's a noun, if it's a thing all on its own, then what is it? What is the faith? We know that we have faith when we trust and believe in the Lord. We know that we have faith when we act in obedience, but what is the faith? Well, first of all, in Galatians 1:23, it said that Paul was preaching the faith. He was communicating, he was saying words that was somehow communicating the faith. We see that in Acts 6:7, that the word of God began to increase, and that's how the priest came to the faith. Or we see that 1 Timothy 4:6 passage that he was trained in the words of the faith. And notice how it links that to in the sound doctrine. So what is the faith? Faith is a broad term. It encompasses a lot of different things. Even in Scripture, it encompasses a lot of different things. But part of what the faith is the belief system, the ideas, the concepts that are revealed to us in Scripture, biblical truths. And so the faith is if the Bible reveals that there is one God and he exists in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is a part of what the faith is. And we saw that there was an individual, I think his name was Elymas, was trying to tempt people away from the faith. Part of that is, because we think, how can I be tempted away from the faith? I thought it was inside of me. I can be rejecting the faith if I'm rejecting biblical truths. I say, but I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I just don't believe in name whatever biblical principle you want to choose to name. And if we are rejecting biblical truth, then in some form we are rejecting the faith. Those who reject the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God in the flesh, are rejecting the faith. Those who reject that we are sinful, we have inherent sinful nature, then we are rejecting the faith. Those who reject that there is only one way to salvation, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ, if they reject that, they are rejecting the faith. And they think, well, I thought I was just rejecting, you know, an idea or a concept. No, part of what the faith is are ideas, biblical truths, biblical principles. It's not the whole picture, but that's part of it. So we must be careful. Now, this does not mean ignorance. You know, so like if I didn't know that that was the truth, that's different than when I had it presented to me and I rejected it, all right? So if I'm rejecting the ideas of the faith, then I'm rejecting the faith. Also, the faith that exists outside of me is the group. Did you note that in Acts 6:7 that the disciples were multiplying, and this is a part of what was coming to the priest, coming into the faith? Or in Galatians 6:10, it says the household of faith. Or in that Ephesians 2 passage, it says household of God. But mind you, again, the context is talking about faith, and he is building the people together, uniting them together, getting them to work together so they can, what did we read earlier? That we will become a house for what? For the Holy Spirit to dwell in. that the working of God happens amongst his people collectively coming together. Does that mean that God can't work in my life individually, separate from the group? No, it doesn't mean that. However, if we choose to stay outside of the group and reject being a part, it doesn't mean I have to be a part of a specific local church, but if I'm not a part of any local church, then I am not a part of the household of faith. And in one way or another, guess what I'm doing? I'm rejecting the faith, because a part of what the faith is the household of God. Sometimes we think that we're just walking away from a group of people. That's why, I don't know if you know this, and not that we ascribe to Catholic doctrine, but the earliest Christian writers following the apostles started to get this saying out there, and not that I believe in maybe all of its implications, but and the Catholic church picked it up and started saying this, there is no salvation outside the church. And at first glance, red flags go up and we might think, heresy, false doctrine, what do you mean by that? And perhaps the way some people present it, that is the case. However, if we are not a part of the body of Christ, there is something wrong with where our faith is. Because faith compels us to be in the household of faith. That's a part of what the faith is. And so if I walk away from the, and there's a lot of people doing that today, if I walk away from the church, I'm not rejecting them only, I'm rejecting the faith. That's part of what the faith journey is. And sometimes I might walk away from one church, go to another church, and think I did not reject the faith. And that might be true if I walked away from this church because they weren't teaching me and holding me accountable to be like this, or maybe there was some location change or whatever. But sometimes, in fact, I think a lot of times when people walk away from a church, it's because the church is trying to hold them accountable to that. And you know what? I'm tired of them trying to convince me to live that way. I'm going to go to another church that just makes me feel good about myself. I'm just going to go to another church that just kind of pats me on the shoulder and says, I'm just going to love on you. Nothing against loving on people and making people feel good about themselves. But if that's all I got, if all the church is making us feel better about ourselves and better about life, that's not what the faith is. And so there are some churches that I might run to that I'm running to that, and I have to notice in my heart whether or not that's happening. And I run from a church to another because I'm running away from that, because I'm not just rejecting that church, I'm rejecting the faith. The faith is a belief system. The faith is the body of Christ. And the faith is, now before we get there, imagine if Andrew, in building up his frame, don't you love it when pastor just keeps singling you out? We're going to move the streaming camera right down over to... Imagine if he decided that he's right-handed. He just really uses only the right arm. So he was just going to only work out the right arm. Now, Leah might think that that's going to look a little awkward if he has this big, bulky right arm and this very, like, pencil-shaped left arm. That's out of balance. That's weird. And besides, if he's going to protect me, he's going to have to do it with one hand tied behind his back, because the left hand's no good for anything because he didn't strengthen the left hand. And faith is like that also, where we can zero in on certain aspects of the faith and focus on being in the place that God wants us to be and strengthening certain areas but not strengthening others. And then we wonder when things start to crumble and fall apart, and we might like to blame it on our circumstances. You know, I have financial issues, health issues, people issues, emotional issues, and that's why my faith's crumbling. No, our faith is crumbling because our faith wasn't strong. If our faith was strong enough, we would be able to have faith through those things. That's why Jesus was able to go through the cross with strength, because he had faith. And so if I'm crumbling in my faith in one way or another, if I'm not looking like this, then it's likely that there's some aspect of this plan that I'm not living it out. So again, I ask ourselves, how's that working for you? To turn us into that, how is the plan that you're living out right now, how is that working for you? I think part of the reason it's not working is because of this last item under number one. Not last item under the other, the rest of it, because I still have about 3 hours left to present this to you. We did start early, technically, today. But that is that the faith is also the mission. You see, in Acts 6:7, the faith was being generated in those priests because people were doing the mission. We see in Ephesians 2 that we are to be working, to be united with, working with other believers. We see that in Hebrews 12, verse 2, that Jesus himself, when he was being the author and perfecter of our faith, he was pushing through the cross, pushing through obedience so that he can bring about that faith in our lives. He was a missionary. What did it say? He came to seek and to save the lost. He lived a sinless life, ministered, proclaimed the gospel. He died on the cross. He did all of those acts of service. He was a missionary. That was his focus, and that's what enabled him to go through that cross. That's what enabled him to be the author and perfecter of our faith, was the focus on the mission. And some of us, the reason why our faith is weak isn't because we're not praying enough. It's not because we're not reading the Bible enough. Some of us know the Bible like the back of our hand. And that's a good thing, but that's not it. It's not because we're not coming to church enough. It's not because we're not getting involved in ministry. And if that is the case for you, then perhaps that is a part of what's going on. But for a lot of us, that's not it. It's not about living a righteous life, or because in general we're living a righteous life. We might have flaws here or there, but in general we're doing it. But what is missing is we're not pursuing the mission of the church to go and reach the lost and make disciples. That is the exercising of the faith. Because it all gets stopped up at us. You know, we're receiving it, we're dishing it out to believers, but we're not dishing it out to unbelievers. And what does it say in Acts 1:8? That he will give us the Holy Spirit so that we can be his witnesses. The reason for the need for the empowering of the Holy Spirit to strengthen and ignite our faith is so that we can deliver that to others. And so if I'm not delivering that to others, if my mouth is remaining silent, if I'm not making disciples, then I'm not exercising. Because my question for you is it because you don't believe that that person can respond positively to it? Is it because you don't believe that the Holy Spirit cannot change the heart of that person? Is it because we don't believe that the Holy Spirit can't bring a revival? That the Holy Spirit can't get people to have their lives turned around and become a part of the faith? Because if we really believe that, what did it say in James? Faith without works is dead. So if we do believe that, we would be presenting that to the lost. But we're not, are we? We're not doing that. At least not most of us, at least not very often. And then the Holy Spirit is not, doesn't need to. Doesn't it say that in the parable of talents? That the one who wasn't using the talent, God took it away from him. We don't need the enabling power of God in our lives because we're not flowing with it to bring it to other people. Well, so then how do I go about pursuing this mission? Well, first, again, we see that statement in a number of those phrases, particularly Acts 6 and Galatians 1 and Hebrews 12. There is a communication of the gospel. We need to be talking. Now, I know that we need to be backing it up by our actions and lifestyle and living out the character of Christ also and first and foremost. But if all we're doing is being nice to people, there's a lot of nice atheists out there. There's even nice Satanists out there. That sounds weird to say. But there's even people who are Satanists that are nice people when you interact with them. So that's not causing people to embrace the faith. At some point, I have to say something. I have to tell them what the faith is. I have to tell them what they are missing out on. I have to tell them what benefits they might be able to have, particularly eternal life, if they come to the faith. I need to talk. It's words. What do we see in Timothy? The words of the faith. It's also in seeking accountability. We see the whole household of faith there and working together. Because listen, I know that we're Americans and we like to do it on our own all the time. But again, how's that working for you? It is better, thank you. It is better to have somebody else along. And I know that we don't like that because we don't like accountability, do we? We don't want somebody to come along and say, you know, are you doing this? You should be doing, why isn't this happening? Are you still doing that? We need to do something about this. You know why we don't want that? Because we just rather keep our issues just private and in a closet somewhere so that we don't have to really work all that hard to change that. Because we actually are struggling to be in the faith because in part we don't want to be in the faith. And so we don't want other people to be involved in that. But that's where the strength comes. When each part is working together, collaborating with one another, helping one another, correcting and challenging one another, that's where this faith thing is happening. And you might say, well, how's that supposed to happen on a Sunday morning? Because it's, you know, pretty much I'm just talking to you, and you can, I don't know if you know this, you can come and hear me talk every week, and you could be the worst person in the world. I have no idea. You know, you could be completely anti-Christian, and I have no idea, except for when I check the cameras on the drones that I send out to follow you. We don't have the money for that yet. We're working on it. That's where your offerings are going to. Where are we doing that? We're doing that on Wednesday evenings. That's why we're doing the Wednesday evening discipleship discussion group at 6:30, because we're coming together and we're talking with one another about the faith and how to grow in the faith. And then we try to give guidance to one another to formulate accountability relationships that don't necessarily happen there on the spot, although we did have one relationship formulate on the spot this past Wednesday, but we're trying to help people connect with one another and know how to formulate those accountability partnerships because we need help. Don't we need help? I mean, we like to act like we have it all together, right? We like to act like we're amazing. You know, we're just hot stuff. We're great in this faith stuff. You know, I'm not shaken at all. But again, am I this? Am I number five? If I'm not this, then maybe I need someone's help. And that's what the scripture tells us to pursue. Also, obedience. We need to be obedient. And lastly, Jude tells us to contend for the faith. Anybody like debating? Anybody know that some people feel like you're argumentative? I've been accused of being argumentative before. Sometimes it's because of flesh issues. Other times it's the Spirit. And you might say, well, why would the Holy Spirit inspire someone to be argumentative? It depends on how you're defining that. Because contend for the faith, if you were to read the whole epistle of Jude, there's a lot of feisty words in there. There's a lot of get after people words in there. And so I need to be content. Part of the mission is to contend for the faith. So if we're out there in the world and someone's saying something about churches are always this, churches are always that, then I need to step up and say, you know what, actually, church isn't like that. That's not what the church is. We need to contend for, stand up for the faith. One of my children is overly nice and sometimes gets taken advantage of because of that. She's not like the other three. I spoiled part of it. The other three are a little more ornery. But this one just tends to want to just be nice to everybody, do what everybody else wants all the time. But every once in a while, she starts to get a backbone going, and she starts to become defiant. And when that happens, it's weird. You know, it's like, what are you pushing back for? You just always just take anything. Why are you pushing back? Do you know anybody like that in your life? They're just nice all the time, but every once in a while, they just push back, and you're like, you? What? You're not supposed to. Cindy, I'm expecting that from, but you? You're pushing back? And she started to say things like, no, I'm not. She's bold and just declares, no, I'm not. Or, yes, you are. And we're like, where's this coming from? Who is this child? But I actually think that sometimes we've, as a church, and I mean church at large, we focus so much on being nice that we forgot that at some point we need to stand up and say, no, you're not. Yes, you are. And so when someone says, well, the church is this and church, no, it's not. Someone needs to start up and contending for the faith and say, no, the church isn't that. We need to do that within the body of Christ. So if someone says, you know, I don't know, you know, it's daylight savings, lose an hour of sleep, I don't know, maybe I should just skip. No, you're not skipping. No, you're coming to church. Contend for the faith. You know, I'm tired, you know, I got these health issues and stuff. I don't know if I should bother with being involved in some kind of ministry. Yes, you will. Yes, you will get involved in some kind of ministry. And we might say, well, that's rude. I just want to come here and listen to Pastor Danny say some nice things, hear Joe sing some nice songs, and just go on my merry way feeling good about myself. That's not the household of faith. It's part of it. But if you're going to actually thrive and flourish and experience all the blessings and benefits of God, then we need to be in the will of God to have that. And so some of us need to get in, and I don't mean literally get in people's faces, all right? You know what's sad about that? If I talk like that, the people that are already in people's faces will just be like, yeah, he said I can tell you like it is. They're the ones that get in everybody's faces, and all the nice people are like, no, I'll just let them handle it. We need to contend for the faith. If someone's saying, you know I have this filthy mouth and stuff, you know, but whatever, God's gracious. No, you're not. You're not going to talk like that. Could you imagine if we had more people like that in the body of Christ that was acting like that? No, you're not. You know, I have this pornography issue, but God forgive. No, you're not. No, you're going to stop doing it. I know that, you know, I've been saying I should quit the cigarettes, and not that that's necessarily a clear sin, but if someone's saying I feel convicted that I should stop doing this, and every time you see them, they're shoving that thing away, they say, you know, it's just hard. It's just hard. No, it's not. It's not. You're going to stop. We need to start contending for the faith. So many people are weak in their faith. Our society, the church at large, is weak today in America because too many people are deciding they won't contend for, fight for the faith. And this is what blew my mind. As I was reviewing this and reflecting on this, this is what blew my mind. So I was thinking about the idea that, yes, we have faith. Faith is in us. And yet faith is a thing on its own. That's why it says the faith. This is what blew my mind. I think this is why some of us start out well and then we fizzle or we're up and down. You know, it's great, then it's not. And it's great, then it's not. Do you ever feel like you're on a roller coaster of faith? The faith is a roller coaster. It's just up and down, up and down. That's not the faith. But why? What is that? This is what blew my mind. You want to know what blew my mind? All of a sudden, I realized that the reason why that happens is because the faith moves. The faith is on a constant journey, progressing forward towards maturity, towards power, towards health, towards flourishing. The faith is on the move. And if I am not on the move, guess what? I end up not inside the faith. Not whether or not I'm saved. Don't be so caught up with that. But I'm not stable in my faith. I'm not strong in my faith. I'm struggling in certain areas in my life. Why? Because I stayed still. Because when the Holy Spirit moved, I didn't walk along with that. When the faith said, get out of the four walls of the church, get out of your house, introvert, and go build relationships and share the gospel with somebody else, I stayed put and the faith left me. What did David say when he fell in his sin? He said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because he knew that the Holy Spirit moves. And if we want to be built in our faith, then we have to move in the faith. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? The faith. So right now, as we think about where faith is moving towards, the movement of faith is moving towards a right relationship with Jesus Christ. The movement of faith is moving towards sound doctrine. The movement of faith is moving towards a powerful prayer life, a consuming of the Word of God, a being part of dwelling within the body of Christ in obedient life. The movement of the faith is moving towards being involved in the ministry of the kingdom of God. The movement of the faith is moving towards witnessing and making disciples. That's where the movement of the faith is going. And so Paul, he asks us this. He instructs us in this. He says, examine yourselves. I hope that we're doing that at this moment. Look inward. Look outward. Look at your actions in your life. Look at how you feel towards God. Look inward and outward. And examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Not whether or not you have faith, though that it matters, but are you in the faith? Test yourselves. Make it hard on yourself. Not to be guilt-ridden, not to be broken beyond all help and giving up, but to see if something's got to change. That plan of ours, how's it working out for you? Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ, I want you to think about the profoundness of that. Jesus Christ is in you. The one who lived a sinless life while you're saying you can't tackle that cigarette, that addiction. You can't tackle that lust, that pornography. You can't tackle that anger issue, that depression, that anxiety issue. You can't tackle that. Well, then Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life, who did tackle that, is in you. Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So this morning, are you in the faith? It's not a hard question. It's a hard thing to own up to. It's a hard thing to face. But it's not hard to figure out if I'm in the faith. It might be partially hard because there's a lot of deception out there coming from other people, or deception even in our own hearts, to try to deceive ourselves in thinking that the faith is something other than it is. But it's really not hard to figure out. The question is, do you want to embrace the faith? And so now, if you are not passing that test, and when we're, no one's going to look at you and say, oh, they must not have been saved this whole time. They're a lousy sinner. No, that's not going to, if that is, don't worry, the drone will follow them and we'll figure that out, who that is. But if you're being convicted that you are not fully in the faith, then come right now to these altars and get in the faith. Don't wait till I'm done talking. I see the conviction on some of your faces. Don't wait till they start playing or singing. Come down here and face the Holy Spirit. Face the Lord who is now gripping your heart because you are outside the faith. It's why you're anxious. It's why you're sinning. It's why you're struggling, because you are outside of the faith. Come inside the faith. It doesn't matter how far gone I've been. It doesn't matter how far down the road I've diverted to. He is always here waiting with open arms to welcome us back into the faith. Because in here is life. In here is victory. In here is flourishing. In here is thriving. In here is purity. Inside the faith, let him do a work in our lives this morning to transform us to be in the faith. In a moment, we're going to go through that verse and then the chorus again one more time. But it says, God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. When we consider the gravity of the weight of the responsibility that God has called us to. When you think of the words that Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, does that mean he truly expects all-out perfection from us 24/7? No. But it means something. He sure does expect something. You think of the gravity of thinking about that certain people's salvation, I bear some responsibility for that. My children that are in my life, or my neighbors, or my spouse. siblings and such. It's not that you and I can save them, but we bear a responsibility to communicate the words of the faith. That's frightening. That we're called to live a life of power and victory and not be losing this battle all the time. That's a weight that's heavy. And we might be tempted to be overwhelmed, to think about the larger scale picture of the body of Christ completely changing this world. Did you know that the church can turn this whole society around? But to think about the gravity of being able to be a part of seeing that happen, what it must take, it's huge. And it can become overwhelming to begin to think of those things. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. And so anytime we find ourselves saying, no, I can't do that, we can't do that, we have to remind ourselves of the words of Christ, that it is possible with God. And we just read that Jesus Christ is in you. And so let's think about whatever the weight of the burden that you find yourself carrying, let's think about that weight as we sing, because whatever that weight is, we will not be overwhelmed by that weight. We will not. Because Jesus Christ is in us and will empower us to walk in faith and victory over that. Do you believe that? Let's sing the words like we believe that they are true and will become a reality. We will not be overwhelmed. Let's sing that.
God, I look to you and I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, 'cause you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord. You are my strength. And I will love you, Lord. You are my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. And I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God.
Now, we could have the instrument stop for just a moment. Let's let our problems, let's let our issues, let the enemy, and let's let the Lord hear with just our voices that we will love him and we will put our trust in him. Let's sing that with our voices to all of those things.
I will love you, Lord, my strength.
With faith we sing.
I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God.
Hallelujah, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Because you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our lives. You're worthy of our time, our resources, our sacrifices. And so we put our lives in your hands, trusting you to enable us to be everything that you've called us to be. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we will accomplish the work of faith because all things are possible with God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said
amen,
amen. Amen. So glad you were with us this morning. Before you go, just a few quick reminders. Again, our pursuit of that happens in certain places. And so if you'd like to be a part of accountability and training and those kind of things, Wednesday evening is where it's happening. Get there and be with us at 6:30. If you would like to be involved in ministry and you don't know where to start or how to make that happen, just go see John. He'll be at the Welcome Center before you leave, and he would be glad to help guide you in that process, because that's our mission, to make disciples. Amen? We want to do that, and I hope that you will be on board with that. So God bless you, and I love you, and I'll see you on Wednesday.